of the many passages that can be found in the Scriptures that have been preserved for us to guide us and instruct us and help us in this life is the warning that the Apostle Peter gives at the end of his second epistle. If you would turn with me over to 2 Peter chapter 3, I want to read a few verses there. In fact, I'm going to begin with verse 10 and read through verse 18 as we begin our thoughts this evening. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. There in verse 17, I read from the New American Standard Version, it says, "Be on your guard." Now, in the older versions that we might read this passage from, you'll find the word beware. And we want to start with that word beware because just like Peter, we recognize there are some warnings that we need to heed. There are some things that we need to be watching out for, that we need to be careful of. And certainly, we're not going to talk about all the things that we need to be careful of or beware in regards to tonight, but we're going to touch on several. And we're going to use the method of, I think it's an acrostic is what I've got here, to talk about some things that we need to be wary in regards to. We need to be on guard against. The first things we want to consider is bitterness. We need to be on guard against bitterness. In the Ephesian letter, chapter 4 and verse 31, Paul says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Bitterness can cause us all sorts of difficulties and problems in our life, and it is certainly going to be a distraction from keeping ourselves faithful to the Word of God. In fact, that's the way that Simon the sorcerer was described by Peter the apostle when he sought to buy the Lord's the gift of the giving of passing on of the gifts of the Spirit from the apostles. In Acts chapter 8, Peter said, "You are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity." Bitterness eats at us. It distracts us from all the things that really matter if we allow it to become a part of us. If you note there, Paul associates it with such things as anger and wrath also. Bitterness is something that we need to be wary of. As the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 12 and verse 13, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." We need to be wary and watchful of bitterness in our life for whatever reason that might arise. We need to watch out for it. Be on guard against it. Another thing that we ought to be on guard against is backbiting, or the term we would understand better maybe is the term gossip. Or, as we find in the pages of Scripture, the term slander is used.
Maybe we often associate that with malicious gossip, but oftentimes the term gossip is sufficient to cover what we're talking about here. Not just feeling hard towards someone else or upset because they got something I didn't get like we would with the bitterness, but speaking against that person. Telling tales out of place about that person in order to cause problems for them. When the Apostle Paul writes to the Roman brethren about what God gave men over to when they refused to accept Him, there in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 28, they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, and God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, envy, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers. There the King James Version has that word, backbiters. Haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. As I said, there's all number of things that we need to be on guard against, and we don't have the time to deal with each and every one of them this evening. But this idea of backbiting or slandering others is one of the things that we need to be constantly on guard against. Paul told the Colossian brethren in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, they needed to put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander and abusive speech from your mouth. As we talked about this morning, if we're going to have the kind of peace that God wants us to pursue after, we've got to be careful about how we talk to people. This reminds us we need to be careful about how we talk about people. We need to beware of bitterness and slander, because those things and backbiting will pull us away from God, cause us to engage in things that we would not normally find ourselves engaging in. Next, we want to consider that we need to be wary of, be aware of, be on guard against envy. Put aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. When Paul names the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Remember the context of the passage that we began this lesson with there in 2 Peter chapter 3? Since we know the end of this world is coming and we're going to stand before God in judgment, we need to be on guard. Paul here makes it clear one of the reasons that we need to be on guard for envy as well as these other things is because those who are engaged in such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We put that in conjunction with what Peter says there in 2 Peter chapter 3, and we recognize and understand it. Certainly when we begin to see what we're talking about when we're talking about envy, looking at someone else and wishing that we were like them or wishing we had the accolades and the praise that they were getting, it's going to distract us from putting our efforts forth in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. It's going to keep us from doing the things that we need to be doing. When Paul wrote to Titus, he said, there was a time when we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. We turned away from those things. And we need to be on guard against them. Envy is certainly one of those things that we must constantly be watching, keeping track of ourselves and our mind as we think about others and as we see others maybe advancing more than we are advancing or have more things than we might have. And we begin to become envious of them, and it distracts us from what our purpose is. Our purpose, remember, is not to acquire things here upon this earth, not to gain fame and accolades of men, but to do the will of God so that we might be with Him for all eternity when this life is over. We need to be on guard against envy. And I guess kind of related to that, we need to be on guard in regards to our environments. We need to be wary of our environment. And some of you see 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 there, and you already know what it says. Bad company corrupts good morals. In fact, Paul didn't start that verse, but that verse starts with, "Do not be deceived." It may very well be that the reason that we're having to watch ourselves so closely in regards to either envy or backbiting or bitterness is because of the people that we're associating ourselves with. Our environment can detract us from the focus that we need to have in serving the Lord. And while this puts the focus upon individuals, and certainly we need to recognize the influence that our friends and neighbors have over us, we can have any number of things in our environment that will distract us and cause us to not be able to focus upon the Lord as much as we need to. We can allow the environment of our home to be such an environment that it's not conducive to bringing ourselves closer to the Lord. Workplace is going to make it difficult. All sorts of money problems, family difficulties, neighbors, whatever. We need to be on guard against these things. We need to beware. Constantly be on the lookout. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells the brethren there that they need to not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Later in verse 17 of that same chapter, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Now, the Apostle Paul there is quoting from the Old Testament Scripture. But the point he's trying to make to the Corinthian brethren is they can't be associated with those who are associated with idols and still expect to be focused upon serving God as God would have them to. And certainly, while we may not be distracted by those that are worshiping idols, or by the idols' temples, or those sort of things, we can see where that principle would apply to us. If we surround ourselves and put all our efforts and time and resources into something of this world, how are we going to have what we need in order to serve God? Yes, we need to come to understandings about some things. And yes, we have the right to recreation and to enjoying ourselves. But if those things are keeping us from growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ, we've missed it somewhere. We've let our guard down. And we've let our environment get in the way of our serving the Lord. And that's the whole idea that Peter is warning against there. Paul warning against this as well with the brethren in Corinth because of their association with those who were associated with idol worship. We need to be wary of our environment, that it doesn't distract us from the goal that we have of learning and increasing in the knowledge and understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of making sure that we are prepared for that time when we're going to stand before God in judgment when all the things of this life are completely gone. Another thing that we need to be wary of is resting. Not resting as in sleeping, we need to be wary of that too, but resting as in resting the Scriptures. As in twisting them. As in working with them to make them fit our own ideas and our own thoughts. If we're not careful, we go to the Word of God with the attitude of, I'm going to find where God says I can do this. And we just keep looking until we find a passage that we can make fit what we want to do. Much of the religious world is guiding their lives by these sort of directions. But we are not supposed to be doing that. We're not supposed to be distorting the Scriptures. We need to go into the Word of God with the purpose of learning what God has to say. Peter made mention of those that would wrest or distort the scriptures that Paul had written. That they would take those things and turn them upside down and twist them around until they fit what they wanted. And he said there in the latter part of verse 16, to their own destruction. You remember the warning that Paul gave to the Galatian brethren in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7? When he talked about them having turned away from the gospel of Christ to another gospel, he says it's not another gospel. But there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. We need to be on guard against wresting the scriptures in two ways. Against those that would wrest the scriptures to their own devices and against ourselves. Wresting the scriptures, distorting them to make them fit our preconceived ideas and thoughts. We need to be watching out for such things, both from others and within ourselves. The second that fits this particular part of our lesson here is we need to be on guard against wolves. I'm not talking about the ones that come sneaking out of the woods at night, or you might see running across the road, or even the ones that might be some basketball or football team or something. I'm talking about the wolves that come to try to destroy the sheep of the Lord. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15 and 16 said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Paul gave warning to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. In verse 29 and 30 of Acts chapter 20, when he met with those elders on the island of Miletus as a final instruction that he gave to them, knowing that they would not see him again, he says, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." We need to be on guard for wolves. Be wary and watching. Jesus presented the parable or the story about him being the chief shepherd and him being the shepherd of the sheep, and that they knew him and that he opened the door and that he watched over those sheep and he cared for them. And as he was giving that, part of the message he was getting across is, look to me so I can protect you against wolves and false teachers. We need to be on guard against such things. Those that rise up and say, "Well, God told me they're wolves. They're seeking to destroy the sheep of the Lord." The way that we overcome such things, the way that we keep ourselves aware and watching for such things, is exactly what Peter instructs us that we need to do, putting our minds and our hearts into the Word of God so that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to beware, on guard against outside forces, inside forces, watching, carefully considering all things that we come in contact with and we deal with each and every day. Because we're not just getting through life. We're looking for the time when all these things will come to an end and we will stand before God in judgment. We need to be careful and on guard, watching. I'm convinced one of the biggest problems that Christians have today in an overall sense that I see across all the people that I know is anxiety. And we're given warning after warning after warning to be careful about anxiety. In fact, we're told specifically by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Paul said there's no reason for us to be anxious or worried about things. Because God is there and we can go to Him and we can cast our burdens at His feet. We can lay our burdens upon Him and know that He will give us that which is right and that which we need. It may not be that which we want, but He will give us that which we need. Be anxious for nothing. Jesus put it in the words of dealing with everyday issues of life. He says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, or for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Jesus said, don't worry about these things. Don't let these things distract you from the purpose that you have in your life of serving and honoring and praising God. Don't let it get in the way. Yet when I look at my brethren across the country and across the world, time and time again, I see where they let worry pull them down to the point that they cannot serve the Lord. They let worry and care and concern about things of this life distract them from worshiping God, from praying to God, from studying God's Word, from exercising their responsibility to help their brothers and sisters in Christ and those who are less fortunate. We need to beware. We don't need to be worried about getting worried. We need to beware of worry. I know those that are at this very time looking at life-threatening issues in their health. But rather than let that distract them from serving the Lord, rather than getting worried and getting all caught up in all the details of exactly how to deal with all of that and letting that distract them, they're still worshiping and honoring and praising God. Because they've taken that concern that they have and given it to the Savior and are willing to accept whatever it is that God has determined that is best in that situation. It's not something that's easy to do, but it's something that we as Christians must do. We need to constantly be on guard against anxiety and worry that will take us away from the Lord. Don't go away from here and say, Dan told us we can't ever think about what we're going to wear to work tomorrow. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a difference between considering or thinking about and being worried or anxious about. We overuse that word worry sometimes, and it's caused us to have a misunderstanding of what Jesus is talking about here. We need to make sure that the things and issues of this life are not distracting us from the obligations that we have in serving God. Another that fits this A here in the word beware is apostasy. And we go back to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. And there we read, "I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." Paul said, "Brethren, I am amazed that you've turned away from Christ." That's what he means by deserting the one who called them. You've apostatized. You've stopped following the Lord and you started following the teachings of men, or started following your own ideas and your own thoughts. We need to be constantly on guard against apostasy. Now, this ties in with some of the other things that we've talked about. Our environment is something that can distract us and cause us to turn after other things. Someone resting and distorting the Scriptures, as we used verse 7 just a moment ago in regards to that, can cause us to turn away from God. Wolves who are coming about seeking to destroy the blessings and peace that we have in Christ by pulling us away. We need to be on guard against it. "Take care, brethren," the Hebrew writer says, "that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." I think this is one of the things that we as mature Christians need to make sure we keep in the forefront of our minds. Because it can become very easy to find ourselves in a situation where we're going through and doing the things that we're supposed to do. We're engaging in emotions, but we don't have the thought process that goes with those emotions. We don't have the inner heart that is devoted. We're just following the rules without any devotion to the Lord. And that is just as much apostasy as if we had turned off after some other gospel out there and started our own church somewhere. We need to be constantly on guard, wary of becoming complacent and satisfied because we're doing the motions. We need to be concerned about those things. Remember, Peter reminds us, since we know beforehand what's going to happen, we need to be on guard lest we be carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. And I almost think sometimes that we might be better served if it said, or fall from your own steadfastness. Because we can fall from our own steadfastness without unprincipled men teaching us an error. We need to be on guard against apostasy, turning away from the Lord, deserting the gospel of Christ. We need to be on guard against resisting the Holy Spirit. And Stephen spoke to those on the council in Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, he said, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did." And time and time again, when we were going through looking at the life of Christ, we saw the evidence, we saw Jesus even speaking to those who were resisting the message of the Spirit. Various reasons involved. In general, their reason for resisting the Spirit is it didn't fit what they wanted it to say. We need to be on guard against resisting the Spirit. When we read in the Word of God that we're supposed to assemble together and worship God, then we need to assemble together and worship God. When we read in God's Word that we have an obligation to help those that are less fortunate, we need to help those that are less fortunate. When we read in the Word of God that we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord and realize that we're not all that. We're just servants. That even when we've done everything God has told us we're supposed to do, we're still nothing but servants in the house of God. That's exactly what we need to be. We need to make sure that we're not resisting the teachings of the gospel. See to it, we're told in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those who did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And we know the example he's talking about there. The nation of Israel suffered greatly because they refused to listen to the one who was speaking. Just recently, we talked about Jeremiah giving the warnings to Israel, telling them that, hey, don't go to Egypt. What did they do? They went to Egypt. And they suffered for it. They were resisting the one who was speaking. The same thing will happen to us. If we resist the message of the Lord, we need to be wary. Be on guard against resisting the teachings of Scripture. They're not always going to be the things that we think are best, but they are exactly what God sees as best. And we need to submit to them. We need to be wary against railing. I want to look at a couple of passages before we look at the passage that actually uses this word railing. because they talk about the same idea. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. And then we have Jude verses 8 through 10. The example that Jude gives there of Michael the archangel. Look at what he says beginning in verse 8. Yet in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these men revile the things which they do not understand, and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. We need to be wary against letting anger and wrath get into our speech in regards to others. I think most of all, the lesson that we learn from this example that Jude gives us here of Michael the archangel is, we're not the judge, God is. And since we're not the judge, we're not the one pronouncing judgment, God is pronouncing judgment. And we need to be careful about how we go about rebuking others. We need to be on guard against such things. Yes, there are some people that have to be rebuked. There are some people that have to be rebuked strongly in order to get their attention and cause them to make the necessary changes. But still, we're not the judge. And so we need to be careful in how we approach and talk to them. We need to be on guard against allowing anger and wrath and malice and abusive language coming into our speech with others. In fact, as we talked about this morning, our speech needs to be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that it edifies and builds up. We need to beware. And of course, since we're reading from 2 Peter chapter 3 in the latter verses there, we need to beware. Be aware that the end is coming. Then comes the end, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, when he hands over the kingdom of God and the Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power. As we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, the elements be destroyed with intense heat, the earth and its works will be burned up. The end is coming. And we need to be wary of that. Be aware of that. And be on guard and ready. Just like the parable that Jesus told his apostles and disciples about the householder who left his servants in charge and went away. And as he told the story, he talked about those who were doing exactly what the master would have them to do. They were operating like they were supposed to, but then they began to think, our master's not coming. It's been a long time and he's not here. And so they started doing what they wanted to do instead of what the Lord would want them to do. And the point Jesus makes, in fact, this story is found in a couple of different places, but one of the points that he makes is the one who continues to do what his master instructed him to do always is the one that will be blessed. Because he's the one that is wary of the end. He knows it's coming. And he's going to be prepared. This being aware of the end is a part of the idea of persevering, patiently enduring. Peter elsewhere talks about the long-suffering of God, and we need to recognize that that long-suffering is so that we might have opportunity to keep ourselves right with the Lord. We need to be wary of the end, and we need to recognize that the end means eternity. Not just that the world is coming to a halt, but that when the world comes to a halt, we will be in eternity. Whether that world comes to a halt because I'm no longer a part of the world, because my life has come to an end, or because the Lord comes in judgment upon the entire world and it burns up in the fiery heat of God's wrath. I need to understand that when that happens, I'm in eternity. And there's one of two things that's going to happen to me for eternity. I'm either going to dwell in the blessed place, the house of the Father, or I'm going to suffer in the place prepared for Satan and his servants. One will go away into eternal punishment, Jesus tells us in Matthew 25. The other, the righteous, into eternal life. Peter tells his readers earlier in this book, in chapter 1, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." We need to beware. We need to beware of the evil that is around us, of the wickedness that can creep into our own lives and our own attitudes. We need to beware of the arrogance that might cause us to turn away from God. We need to be aware of these things, along with all of the other things that are mentioned and talked about in Scripture, because they will distract us from our purpose in God. I mentioned these are just a few. We read some of those verses. There were any number of others that were mentioned that we could have included here that just didn't fit our beware sign we had at the beginning. Point being, we need to be on our guard. We know what's going to happen. We know what God expects of us. Therefore, we need to be ready, constantly watching, keeping ourselves right. So when the time comes to stand before God in judgment, we'll secure here and there the joys of the Lord rather than depart from him and let him go. If you are looking at your own life this evening, recognize there's some areas that you've not been watching close enough, and you stray from serving the Lord, we encourage you to correct that, to set it right, so that you can be pleasing in the sight of God. Some of the songs that we sang this evening, Brother John said we're going to sing about prayer. At least one of the songs talked about how going to Jesus in prayer can help us with our struggles and our sins and our problems. Part of being aware is knowing that Jesus is there, that he's willing to help us and to assist us and to guide us and to strengthen us. For it is through Jesus that we're able to accomplish any of the things God has given us to do. If you look this evening and find that you're in need of yourself,